Okay. Hello, listeners. Welcome to our final episode. Boo-hoo, so sad. These 10 weeks flew by so fast.
Well, more like 11, because we definitely skipped last week.
Oh, yeah.
Because well, Remembrance Day.
Oh, yeah.
We had a week express off. Permission to do so.
So this is episode 10. And this is our wrap-up episode, and we're going to bring together everything we've ever talked about and sum it up in this episode. Our topics may or may not include the future holds for us, future goals, aspirations, and why introverts are becoming the new cool.
I like it.
I like it too. All
Excellent.
Right.
This episode of Background Noise is brought to you by MTS Wireless Service, Manitoba's largest wireless coverage for cell phones, internet service.
Yep.
Landlines, if anyone still has those. Does anyone still have a landline?
I don't know.
Anyone who listens to this podcast? Anyway. they're having a promotion right now that if you switch to MTS for your wireless bill, you can save $100 on your first payment. So that's a pretty good deal if you're looking to switch your carriers. I have MTS. I've always liked it. I've never had problems. Unlike some other people with some other services that we're not going to name. But so MTS Connect, get your wireless service there.
Okay, welcome back.
Best ad read of all time. I don't know if you knew that. I am a professional.
Very profesh.
Yeah, fresh and profesh. So, we're wrapping it up. If we seem a little low energy today, that's because we are.
Because we are in the middle of finals week. So we literally have one more week of class. So
week
it's crunch
death.
Time.
Yeah, death week.
So this is just... And we are squeezing this in.
There's flus and there's snow outside and it's pretty miserable all around.
I am also very sick right now. I just literally crawled out of bed and like crawled to school and like just loopy on meds just to get through the day. So...
I'm sort of in a similar spot. Last night, I made the big mistake of falling asleep at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, my.
I woke up at 7 and immediately regretted it because I was up till like 3 because I couldn't go to sleep.
3 a.m. Oh.
Yeah.
So. You just jinxed your sleeping pattern like I did.
Solid 3 hours of sleep last night.
Solid.
Nailed it.
I think I got about 5 because I was working on something that I didn't work on because I was too sick to even get up.
That's the thing about finals week is like you have to like... It's supposed to be the time where you're like impressing your professors and you're doing your best work, but you're just so drained and it's like
the burnout week, but you're supposed to do like amazing work.
You're like scraping the sludge off the bottom of your brain
exactly.
and handing it in.
Exactly.
It's good enough. Awful. But no, that's not the kind of optimistic tone we're looking for this week.
No.
This week we're looking for happiness, happy stories.
Happy thoughts, happy things. So graduation. Everyone's been talking about that.
It's true.
And it's kind of scaring me. Like, a lot of people are like, the future's bright. Gonna get a job. Gonna, do all this.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I'm just grateful for whatever comes next. The doors are open. I'm, like, open to any job in media. Well, not any job, but, like, like, what I want to do is video editing and corporate video production and all that. So my work placement's actually on Screen Manitoba. So I'm pretty jazzed about that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are always asking me, so what do you want to do after CRECOM? Because everyone expects you to have, like, the one perfect job that you want or the one perfect thing that you want to do,
mm-hmm.
even if it's not necessarily working. And it's just like, it's just a big, like, white noise-filled question mark for me.
Exactly.
I'm just waiting for something to, like, come along and be like, that's a thing I can do that is not terrible. I will do that.
Well, like,
and be paid for it.
If you asked me exactly a year ago, like, what I even wanted to major in,
I
still wasn't even sure. Like, I just... kind of went with what I was good at and what I enjoyed. So now I'm getting even closer to what I want to do because it's like, it's always narrowing down and like things pop up and doors open and you're like, okay, now I know.
Yeah.
You know, like you shouldn't be expected to know from the beginning because it's like,
that's
no
totally
one,
true.
No
I
one
totally
really
wasn't expecting to go into Media Pro.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I was terrified of Broadcast J,
mm-hmm.
But now like, I'm actually kind of good at it, and both of my teachers are like, hey, you're pretty good at this.
Yeah.
We're going to send you to a news station
Ooh.
To do news for your workplace. And I'm like, okay. So it's like a complete 180 of what
Broadcast
I was expecting.
Day every day for three weeks.
This is just going to be a state of perpetual terror and various pants shitting.
I wish we had a cough button on here.
Because
I'm dying. Yeah,
okay.
I actually was told I had a good voiceover voice or a news voice.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I don't.
That's good. No, that's good.
Or it's just like different. Like, I guess people nowadays aren't looking for that news reporter voice.
Yeah. You don't want to sound like you're a button up.
Like a robot.
So and so. Yeah.
In today's stuff, news. Stuff suit.
Yeah. Hey, it's better than being told you have a face for radio.
Oh, yeah. That's not.
I feel like I've got a face for radio and a voice for silent film. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Like, so what's your, do you know what your position is at your work placement?
I'm pretty sure that Ford told me videographer. It's a little bit of a blur, though. I feel like I'm just kind of parroting something I heard. Yeah. So it's definitely going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be a challenge for my small introverted self, because they're like, oh, you basically have 3 weeks to make an impression, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I tend to, like, play the long game, you know? I'll just kind of hang around and be, like, quietly. I'll do my thing. I'll be decent at it. And then eventually somebody will realize, hey, you're actually not terrible. And then, you
like,
know,
sneak up on
like,
them.
That's
yeah,
that's
I'm, like, sort of that, too. Like, it kind of takes a while for me to warm up to it, my skills.
Yeah.
You know, like, at first I'll just be like, I don't know what to do. I'm very, like, kind of dependent on, like, letting others tell me what to do.
Exactly.
Because I obviously, I'd be clueless and I can't, like, take initiative right away, or else I'll feel like I'm being bossy pants or something.
Yeah, inserting yourself into some place you don't belong.
Exactly. So I want to kind of, I don't know, get settled first. And I know it's, like, only 3 weeks, but I feel like that's how much it'll take me to just, like,
get
used to it.
Yeah. Like, Ford's like, oh, just get in there. You have to show them how smart you are. You have to show them, I've, like, find stuff to do. Like, put yourself in their way. And I'm like, You don't know me at all, do you? Like,
exactly.
I don't think you understand how much I can't do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the borderline of, like, you do it because you have to, or meets, like, you just physically can't do it, and I'm not sure which side is going to win out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, I don't know, man. I'm just, like, I'm looking forward to getting my foot in the door, but not looking forward to kind of when they throw me on my own and they're like, yeah, here, do this,
yeah,
do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I also don't want to be, like, babysat, you know?
It's
so, yeah,
be
that's a scary world.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to get out of the confines of the structure of school, you know?
Yeah, and, like, how similar it'll be to school.
Mm-hmm.
Or different.
You always feel like there's a bit of a safety net, you know? You can always go to your instructor and be like, hey, I don't understand. They'll be like, okay,
yeah,
cool, let's help you understand, because that's their job, obviously. But when you're in the workplace, it's like, okay, well, if you don't understand, friggin' figure it out, fuzzball.
Get
like,
do it up.
Yeah. But, I mean, my sort of long-term goal is to be able to work remotely, move out into the middle of nowhere, and just kind of introvert myself on my
introvert
computer.
Yourself, but still, like, make a living and
yeah,
do something you
exactly.
love.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's a good plan.
That's my broad plan. How exactly it's going to come about, I have no idea.
It'll fall into place. It always somehow does.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. I mean, like, knock on wood.
Yep.
The ideal situation is I fucking get my ass to act together with my book, and it actually sells a reasonable number of copies.
Ooh.
And I can make a living that way.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
But write for a living.
I tell you.
My original plan, because I always was, like, jazzed about writing.
Yeah.
I took writing in university, and I was really good at it in high school. And then after that, I, like, figured out I was a lot better at doing media production and program stuff, editing stuff. And writing actually just kind of fell to the bottom of my skill set. And
yeah,
I'm like,
absolutely.
Well, maybe I'm not that great, and I can do better things. So you kind of just learn a lot about yourself in this program.
Yeah,
whereas you go.
I definitely feel that way, too. I feel like there's not as much anxiety for me attached to video production and stuff, just because it's like, I feel that I'm new at it. I don't feel like I should know everything. I'm like, okay, I have a base skill set that I can build upon and grow upon. Whereas with writing, it's like, I know what good stuff looks like, and I expect that of myself.
Yep.
But I haven't put the time into it quite yet, and so I read myself and it's like, well, this is complete garbage. I should never write anything ever again.
It takes me so long to be satisfied with my writing.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to, like, long-term editing with essays, and then having to, like, cough up a paper in an hour for broadcast journalism is not my forte.
Yeah. It's kind of the opposite for me. I'm used to, like, writing under pressure and then not thinking about it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But having to, like, deeply examine my writing and look at all of its flaws and face it, like, head on and fix those things, it's like, I don't know.
Looking in the eye and just, like, fix it.
I always feel like I'm just sort of, like, looking at my writing side on and just be like, oh, okay, here, it's good enough. Just
good
don't look at it again.
Go away.
Avoidance, anxiety.
Yes.
Joys.
Fear avoidance. It's going to follow me around.
Yeah, no kidding.
But yeah, like, I don't know. I just think this workplace is a good idea just because it's like, it'll give me an idea of what I'm going to face.
Exactly.
Once I graduate and like lessen the anxiety, because yeah. then knowing that I'm actually getting paid for stuff that I do, it makes me like, oh, this better be good. Mm-hmm. This better be worth their money kind of thing.
It's true. Yeah. Being able to have that motivation of actual monetary compensation for your work, it does help the motivation factor. It mm-hmm. makes you want to stand by your work.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm super not, like, at the point, at the student level, I don't think my work's that great.
Mm-hmm.
And I got asked by someone, I made a video for my IPP. They want to hire me to make promotional videos for them.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And I'm like, I don't know what to price it. And they're like, so how much would you charge? I'm like, I seriously don't know.
Should have taken freelance biz. We're learning that crap.
Yeah.
Well,
so
the
I'm
rough.
I'm so lost.
The rough number that we got from one of the guys who came in to talk to us was, like, he does promotional videos and stuff. He's like, roughly like $1,000 a minute.
Really?
Like, for the end product, if your video's going to be a minute long, it's like $1,000.
That's for, like, established freelancer with expensive gear.
It's true. You would probably charge a little bit less at the student level, but,
yeah.
you know, $500 is still not unreasonable.
Not bad, yeah.
With the amount of work that you'd be putting into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got shooting, you got editing, you got to worry about light and sound and
right.
hiring extra people potentially and, you know.
And it's funny how amazed they get for, like, at videos I shot in a day and edited in like a couple hours mm-hmm. and they're like, wow, this is great. And it's so funny. Like, the video is only like 2 minutes long and it's kind of like, it looks like a commercial for them.
Yeah.
And they're like, this could, you know, expose us and give us good coverage and stuff. And I'm like, okay, not a bad idea. I totally do it. I just don't know, like, I don't know if I think my work is worth a lot yet kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah, it's hard to break out. The other thing that I noticed about being in school is that you kind of lose perspective of how,
like, valuable your skills are.
Exactly, because
yeah.
you're surrounded by people who are as good as or better than you at those
right.
things.
Yeah, and you're just you have this, like, comparison.
Yeah, and you're so used to measuring yourself against them.
Yeah.
And then you go into the working world where the average person, you know, you're talking to people who are, like, accountants and, like,
yep.
salespeople who are good at what they do, but they couldn't make a video if their life depended on it.
To save their life,
it,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
So then you have the skill to offer them. And it's just
you're kind of, like, in a bubble, like,
yeah.
I feel. Like,
yep.
when I'm out taking pictures of my friends for projects, they're like, whoa, like, you're all professional now. Like, this is good quality. I'm like, not really. Like, not on based on the grades I get.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
And the fact that, like, a lot of your skills... like, you think the grade you get is reflected on your skills, but if you compare it to the average Joe, they're going to be, like, mind-blown at your stuff. So
yeah, yeah.
It's good, I guess.
Yeah, like, Zach was picking up my camera last night and just kind of mm-hmm. playing around with it. I'm like, here, come here, let me show you something. And I sort of ran him down, like, the f-stop and the ISO and all the stuff that is, like, kind of second nature to me now.
Yeah.
And he's like, whoa, man, you're so smart. This is
whoa,
incredible.
Whoa, my mind is blown.
Yeah. So it's a nice little ego boost, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Ego boost.
You need those sometimes in this. It's just like a constant barrage of
finals week.
constant criticism. Okay, we're not being very optimistic here. This is not what we're trying to do. I literally Googled why nerds are cool.
Why nerds are cool.
This is an interesting Google search. I've got some YouTube videos. I also have a...
Well, I think the introvert is being... its definition in people's perspective is being flipped 180.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of movies are being made about successful, you know, nerdy people or people, you know, starting out in their basements programming and coding and
yeah.
not really being social, and then them being billionaires.
Yeah.
Like the guy who invented Facebook.
Well, exactly. Because they're turning into... It's kind of cynical to say this, maybe, but once nerds have proven themselves to be capable of, like, being an economic juggernaut, then it's like,
mm-hmm.
oh, we pretty much have to respect you because you're earning all this money.
Yeah,
and
start from the bottom.
Doing all this stuff that we couldn't do in a million years. So it's like, okay, I guess.
Because they spend so much time working on their craft and then
yeah.
socializing, and now
yeah,
they're
exactly.
rich.
Looking at an article on coffeemeetsbagel.com/blog. Oh, man. This is a highly reputable news source.
Very.
Not at all. Nerds are trendsetters. Well,
okay.
They're using the example of the, like, black framed glasses that
oh, okay.
we're both sporting
yes.
versions of right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, pretty
actually.
Much.
the Coke bottle
and
glasses.
And that's trendy now?
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I love how that has an affiliation with being nerdy and shy and from a piece of accessory on your face.
Yeah.
Or something to help you see.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Glasses being part of your nerd cred.
Yeah, glasses.
That's
braces,
part of why I still wear mine.
Bow ties. Yeah, people are like, you should try contacts. I'm like, nope, they're a part of my face. They like,
yeah.
I look weird without them.
Yeah, when people try to shoot video of me and they're like, oh, can I take your glasses off? Because there's like glare. I'm like, absolutely not.
And no.
No, that's like taking your shirt off on camera.
Exactly.
Like,
I'm like,
you just
nope.
feel exposed.
Yeah, I do feel Can't exposed do when I have no glasses.
Yeah.
Why are nerds cool?
Nerds party harder than you.
Seriously. In what ways?
This is what
online.
It says. This is one area where we thought we had them beat. Well, this is somebody who is not a nerd, apparently, writing this article. Then, much to our chagrin, we witnessed the rise of a new breed of brogrammers. Oh,
God. Oh, brogrammers.
Oh, no. This is awful. I don't like this already. Who, quote, sling code and party like frat boys. Well,
okay.
That's not... Okay, I don't like this article. We're clicking out of this.
Exit.
Nerds make money and know how to save. Okay, well, that's something. But I don't like this idea of, like, oh, they're cool because they party like frat boys. When has that been cool? Ever? I don't know. Okay. But, I mean, one thing I quite like about being a quote-unquote nerd, I guess, it's not quite it's sort of similar to introvert, but it's not quite exactly the same. But
yeah.
When you're enthusiastic about stuff, like people who enjoy, you know, certain films or books or movies or films or movies. Yep.
Films, movies, books.
Stuff. You can be enthusiastic about it and it's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be like, oh, I guess I like it. Like,
be ashamed about it?
That fake, or like ironic. You don't have to like it ironically. You can like it genuinely and it's not a bad thing. I had a point there and I lost it. All right, we'll just leave it at that. I'm going to get off of this Google search because I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, Google, no.
Okay, benefits of being an introvert.
They're better listeners.
That's true, I think.
I always thought of myself as more of a listener in a conversation. Mm. Like every time I'm in a group of friends, I'm usually just kind of listening and taking it all in and like... while they just ramble on and on to me, and I'm like, okay, good, sounds good, I'll offer my opinions, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I feel like it's more interesting to me to listen and, like, find out stuff.
Yeah, because like usually, introverted people don't really, like, have a high sense of, like, oh, what I have to say is so much more important than yours. I'm going to just talk.
Yeah.
I don't really like the hearing sound of my own voice either, so I'd rather just listen to my talkative friends and
yeah,
see
it's
what
like,
they have to say.
Yeah, I much prefer... hearing new ideas rather than trying to regurgitate my own, which is like, it's old news.
Which is
anyway,
hard,
right? I need new things to think about.
Exactly.
Let's see here. Are you an introvert? Well, psychcentral.com, I'm here to tell you that is, yes, I am.
Infinite source of energy.
What?
No.
Garbage.
These
what
are
you looking at?
Why it's so cool to be an introvert.
Oh my god,
what kind
of energy,
like...
I guess just talking about like
right
the
now.
Thing about being alone, giving you energy.
Oh yeah.
Rather than being around people.
Mm-hmm.
But like you're expected to be around people a lot. Maybe it's just us in our
Maybe
school,
it's
but
us.
Like you have to be around people a lot. There's a lot of people-ing that I'm just not really equipped for. Thoughtfulness and caring. Well, self-reflectiveness.
A lot of self-reflecting. Immense
That's something that I think. Is true about me, at least. I try to be very self-aware and realize exactly where my successes and failings are.
I think I have a good sense of empathy. I can put myself in other people's shoes just because I do a lot of observing and thinking, and instead of just like doing things without thinking about it. Like,
right.
I'm not very spontaneous.
Yeah.
I do a lot of planning, pre-planning in my head before I do stuff. So I think I can put myself in other people's positions just to like, you know, get a sense of that. Like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good quality, I guess. That's why.
Definitely is. And I'm kind of jealous of that quality. I'm really bad at reading people.
Oh, yeah.
I spend too much time reading books and not enough time reading people. I'm serious. Like, I think about stuff. Like, I do a lot of that pre-planning and that kind of thing. Like, thinking about stuff before I do it. But it's in more of, like, an analytical way, I think.
Okay.
I have problems with relating to people, I guess. Or putting myself in people's shoes. Maybe that's a bit of a...
I don't know if that's an introverted quality or it's just kind of, like, something that people have.
Yeah, I don't know. But it... Like I said, but...
But I think it comes from just, like, observing people and not really talking, more so listening.
Don't sneeze in the mic. Just cough instead. It's fine. My point there was that it's just like, not every introvert is the same.
Exactly. And there's you can't loop them all together either.
Yeah.
Because some people are extroverted in certain situations too. Like, you can't just be like, you're just antisocial. You're always, because I think, like, I'm selectively social. Like, I could be around my friends, I'm no problem. I could, whatever.
Yeah, like, I enjoy being around people that, you know, I like and I like hanging out with. one of my friends, like, actively dislikes getting together in person.
Really?
Yeah. We're just like, hey, let's get together. And he's like, no, I'm going to sit home and play video games. Like, God damn it. Like, really? It's great talking to you, but, like, come on.
Let's hang out for a little bit.
Face-to-face
interaction.
Yeah, so no matter how introverted you think you are, there's always somebody
there's always someone out there who's more.
I tell ya, it's...
oh, my.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Oh, look, health benefits of being an introvert. Lower chances of obesity. Well.
Really?
A leadership advantage?
How much do we trust the internet here? I don't know.
Introverts are able to tune into the talent of their staff and draw it out, rather than simply deferring to the most vocal members of the group.
Hmm.
Okay. Lower risk of dumb accidents. Okay, that's a little stereotypical.
Dumb accidents?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Introvert who tends to think before speaking or acting is less prone to the kind of impulsive behavior that could lead to drinking too much or, say, crossing against the light.
Makes sense.
I don't know if that's true either.
I don't know.
Space for creativity. Man.
Yeah, a lot of these...
Talk about generalizations.
Because I'm on another one, and it's like, they contribute a lot to arts and the literary.
Mm-hmm.
You are more creative.
But I know plenty of people who are very artistic, who are very...
outgoing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's also the artist stereotype where they're just in their room painting away and writing a novel on their typewriter or whatever.
But it's so hard to do that without external inspiration, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Like, where do you get your inspiration
from? Yeah, like, you can't be a self-contained unit.
Yeah, self-contained unit.
Because then otherwise it just gets all circular and self-referential and poopy.
And then it becomes kind of just one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I don't know. Like a one-trick pony.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Like, when you write, do you do something beforehand to kind of, like, warm yourself up?
I don't do warm-ups, but when I write, I try to, like, actively emulate people whose work that I admire, you know? And I should probably do this more. Like, I should probably start basing my characters off of people that I actually know, rather than just kind of like, oh, this character is this, and then, like, having a one-note character in my books. Like, all right, great, good job.
You kind of just, like, thought up the person. They don't really have, like, humanistic qualities. They're just the talking head.
It's definitely harder to do that from scratch, and I think... the next time I write something like that, it's going to be a little more based in reality.
Yeah. No, I used to write stories, too, as a kid. And I would always, like, I find free writing is really a good way to warm up. Because then you just kind of write and you don't stop. And then you realize there's some good stuff in there and you kind of tweak it.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, you just kind of, like, splat all your ideas out at once. And then
it's true. When I start free writing, I tend to, like... like, I'll just, like, write crap, just, like, stream of consciousness, like, oh, man, I'm tired. And then eventually something will come out.
Eventually, yeah.
It'll always be interspersed with a healthy selection of just expletives and just random bullshit.
Exactly.
So it's maybe not the most useful thing for me, but...
yeah. Well, I think, like, what I don't like about a lot of, like, introversion assumptions is, like, extrovert is always correlated with good, and then introvert is always, like... associated with not so good in a way.
Well, it depends on the context.
If it does depend on the context.
Because I'm thinking of quite a few online communities where it's exactly the opposite, where it's like, oh, the introvert is like the tender, precious little flower that must be protected, and then the extrovert is just this like
annoying,
annoying beast of like noise and fear. Yeah. And like neither of those things is accurate at all.
Exactly.
But definitely, yeah. When you're talking about a professional environment, for example, being extroverted tends to be the thing is like, oh,
preferred.
They're contributing. It's like, well, not everyone contributes in the same way.
Participation marks.
Participation.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, the like the mandatory mark for speaking up in class and like university classes and stuff. Like,
I hated
what
that.
Garbage is
I,
that?
Who, my, the last idea class I ever this? Took in University of Winnipeg had a participation mark that was worth a lot. It was 30%.
What?
Or 20%.
That's too many.
So like every day I'd have a list of things that I was gonna say and like when I was gonna put up my hand.
Yeah, just you have it's, to like schedule that shit.
I literally can't just put up my hand because otherwise I wouldn't know what to say or it would just come out as like blah.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I would just kind of not, it wouldn't even be a coherent sentence.
Yeah.
And I normally don't, you know, put up my hand or speak out just because I just don't have anything to say.
Yeah, you open your
and
mouth.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing comes out. Yeah.
Yeah, the visual or the verbal equivalent of like mashed potatoes just comes out. Like, that's how I feel sometimes.
Yeah. No, like, I planned it out. I like wrote it down. The teacher would be like, okay, today's class, we're going to be talking about this. Okay, here's the things I'm going to say so I won't fail. My participation marks are so high.
Usually I just like, I'm like, all right, I'm just not going to get those marks. So I got to get good at everything else.
Well, it was the faculty of writing and communication. So that was the communication aspect.
Yeah, I
that,
guess.
That like killed me.
Rhetoric writing. Yeah. That was, I don't know, weird. Yeah.
A lot what of pre-planning. I think it's kind of like the equivalent of like when you write a blog entry. And you're editing it before publishing it. It's kind of like that, but it's like in my head.
Boy, I don't edit my blog entries.
Really?
My blog entries are the closest I get to free writing, I think.
That's true. I'm more conscious about my writing.
Just kind of like write my thoughts and put them out there. And
mm-hmm.
I like give it a quick glance for spelling, but other than that, it's pretty much.
Yeah. I still do want to keep writing in my, because like I told a lot of people from high school or that know me, they always knew me as the writer. And they're like, you're going to be a writer. You're just going to, you know, you're going to write articles. You're going to write books. I'm like, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's changed a little bit right now, but I still want to do it on the side.
Yeah.
I think blogging is like definitely what I want to keep up.
Yeah, blogging is cool. It takes a certain amount of discipline to do any of that, obviously.
Of course. Like, I stopped using my blog ever since we had to do this podcast or other things.
Yeah, I got to be honest. The only reason my blog is still active is because that's where we host the podcast.
Exactly.
My apologies to my blog readers who tuned in for a book review blog and now it just hosts podcasts. I should just call it like my school blog.
Exactly.
Jesus. Yeah. I'm probably going to have to take this blog down like after I leave school.
Oh, yeah.
Because, well, like that guy, that video guy that I told you about that came into our class. Mm-hmm. I was doing a pitch for him to do like a new website for him.
Right.
And when you Googled him and like, the only thing that I could find, it was his, like, blog from Crecom.
Oh.
And at that point, it was, like, 4 or 5 years old. And
it was just outdated stuff.
It was really bizarre.
That's weird.
And it was, like, obviously not very good. And it's a, sort of the similar quality of as mine, which is, like, it's fine for now because I'm just a student. But afterwards, I think it's going to have to be, like, all right, we're going to save some of the best posts, put it somewhere else, and just, like, consign this just to the depths of the internet.
Yeah.
Just unlisted.
Archive it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting looking back at stuff even I did in first year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, it's like the optimistic part is I actually did learn stuff and like my stuff now is so much better.
It's true. You can see like the personal growth in there as well.
For sure.
Yeah.
The end of Crecom. My applications too. Hmm? Like my how I got into the program, like the stuff I applied with.
Oh god. No, I haven't looked at that in
like
years.
I don't even want to see it cuz it's probably like so bad.
Awful. Mine's like 4 years old at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I applied right out of high school. No. No, thank you.
My outdated camera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my little Sony snapshot or whatever. I'm especially terrified of finishing Crecom because I've been in here 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's become my whole life in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I'll be without it, pretty much. You know what
I mean?
That's
true. It's kind of a safety blanket because there's always people you can ask for help or like you know you're not out there yet, you're still kind of at the student level, so mm-hmm. you can make mistakes and that's what they said, if you're gonna mess up now while you're still in school instead of messing up when you're on the job.
Yeah,
so like I hope I messed up enough.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's a good one. I'm gonna put that on a t-shirt. I hope I messed up enough so I don't mess up in the future.
Exactly.
My only hope is that the Crecom mafia really is a thing.
Yeah.
Because I want to keep in touch with everyone, you know?
Yeah, it's really neat, like, because the person I'm working with for work placement is a Crecom grad, so you kind of have that relating point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they understand where you're coming from, and
you
know their background, so it's like a safety blanket, too, essentially, when you're out there.
Yeah. My big thing I'm wondering about right now is whether I'm going to move for mm-hmm. for work. Because the big thing is like, oh, you can get work anywhere as long as you're willing to move anywhere in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that. You know? It kind of terrifies me.
Yeah. It'd be neat, but like the actual thought of doing it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I mean, my whole family's here.
Yeah.
My whole life is here. And I mean, like, I live with my boyfriend. Would he come with me? Would I have to do a long distance relationship yeah. while I'm off pursuing my career and he's just hanging around?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
What's going to happen?
Mm-hmm. See, for you, it would probably be easier because you're not really attached in any way.
That's true.
You could probably just, you can just pick up and leave.
Go on my own and, like, make new connections and stuff and then yeah. come back. Because I eventually just want to come back too. Like, I would be down to try out a career in Toronto, say, mm-hmm. gain experience there and then come back, you know, to my family and just kind of.
Yeah, that would be the ideal.
Because, like, for a lot of people, they just want to go abroad. Or not abroad. Like, you know, go to different cities to get experience. But, like, they're so attached to home that they don't want to permanently relocate.
Yeah. But I also know a lot of people who are like, I cannot wait to get out of this backwater city.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I can kind of understand that. Like,
but it is a scary thought to move to a bigger city.
Yeah.
Like, I always wanted to move to either Vancouver or Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was younger. But I feel like it's a lot harder than I think.
Yeah.
Cost I mean, of living and everything.
Well, yeah, so like
you get comfortable in Winnipeg.
The wages aren't actually that much higher in the rest of Canada, mm-hmm. but the cost of living is like exponentially higher, which
oh, yeah.
is terrifying to me. Like, I think my rent is high right now, but like even for Winnipeg, it's pretty low.
For Winnipeg,
I can't imagine
yeah.
anywhere else like
in
paying thousands of dollars a month
for a
place to live.
A tiny,
like,
apartment
a tiny little
too.
Like you know like an attic or something.
In BC, in Vancouver,
holy shit.
It's super expensive. So,
yeah.
I don't know. We'll see if I get a job for, I don't know, Etalk Canada or something like that or somewhere based in Toronto because Toronto's like the media hub of Canada.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't want to go to the States. I like
no.
Canada.
Yeah, work visas and you got all kinds of other junk. It's
yeah.
It's kind of, I don't know. Living in the States doesn't really appeal to me. Like, I've traveled there multiple times. Like, I'm pretty familiar with it, I think, but mm-hmm. it just, there's something different. It's like
yeah.
it's like you're wearing your shoe on your wrong foot or something.
Yeah, it's like just Canada, like but not.
Yeah, a sense of displacement.
It's just weird. Sorry, Americans. We're just totally dissing
Well,
America.
No, it's not that it's bad. It's just different than what we know.
It's just different.
Well, some places are bad, but that's just my opinion.
Well, I feel like we were taught to know how to work the media in Canada. And,
yeah,
like,
there are definitely different rules. Yeah.
Like
and regulations.
CP style,
and, yeah.
and we're more aware of what's going on in our home.
Their news agencies are different as well.
Exactly.
Like, they tend to be privately funded, and it's a whole other, like, there's some politics there.
Yep.
Of, like, you know, oh, don't write about, if you're writing about black people, make sure you demonize them as criminals. Hey.
Yeah.
Not about
very
that.
Different. It's different down there, all the
yeah.
garbage that's going on.
I mean, let's not act like we're all high and mighty, because boy, there's racism
oh,
in Canada,
sure.
too.
For sure.
But I just feel like it's a different, it's a slightly
different
kind,
different
kind
States.
Of thing. Yeah.
yeah.
I also don't want to live anywhere where Donald Trump is a legitimate candidate
oh,
for presidency, because that makes me sad
yeah.
in a lot of ways.
Oh, man.
Just
They're
a lot
going
of
backwards
ways.
Over there.
I'm so glad that we elected Trudeau.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so moving
sick
forward.
I was so sick of Harper. let's not do him again.
No.
yeah.
Well, it was interesting covering, like, being a journalist in this time.
Yeah.
Covering
no,
all
it was really interesting, like, following it all on Twitter.
Yeah. Like, following, like, because I think when I went to university, I kind of stopped keeping up with current events. And
yeah.
I kind of just entrenched myself in my work.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that we kind of have to, I'm finding myself naturally just going out and watching the news every night, reading articles.
Yeah.
Just, like, being in the know, in the now.
Yeah. I agree, yeah. It's very easy to ignore stuff that's outside your bubble.
Yeah.
But then when you're exposed to it and you think about how important it is, then it's, yeah, it's a lot easier to keep track. Even if it's not, like, reading the paper every day, still keeping track of, like, you know, the major headlines and, like, the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, because if you think it doesn't affect you, it does in some sort of way.
Yeah.
And it always bothered me when people didn't know what was going on or didn't care, just, like, oh, screw voting, it's not going to affect me, or stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
And I was that person before, like, in high school. And,
absolutely.
Like, I didn't care about politics, or I hated it, kind of thing. And then now it's like, well, it's importance. And I think everyone on social media is starting to hop on that. So it's really cool.
Yeah, I agree.
And I feel proud that I'm, like, in CreeCom and I kind of get to write about these things that impact people.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's, like, a huge thing that I joined this program because it's all about spreading the news and, you know, being a media hub for topics that are important and,
yeah,
like, raising awareness on things, so...
Yeah.
That's kind of another goal.
Before the election, my dad sent me an email. He's like, my family is traditionally very anti-conservative.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A bunch. You wouldn't think so for a bunch of, like, farmers from the middle of nowhere. But, yeah, we're very anti-conservative.
Yeah.
Watching my uncle, who is very conservative, and my grandma, who is very not, argue.
Oh, wow. Just total opposites.
It's like the Olympics. But, no, he sent me an email. He's like... Make sure to vote ABC, anyone but conservative.
Anyone but conservative.
And it's just this enormous list of, like, all the things that Harper's done. And I'm like, relax. I go to school with a bunch of journalists.
Yeah.
I got this.
You know,
I know. I know what's up. He was very impressed.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's definitely good to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Last year getting into that habit was kind of tough just because we had those quizzes.
Oh, like, yeah, news quizzes are the worst. Oh, like, I can like, absorb information, but trying to retain specifics
names,
of, like, so-and-so's
years,
name.
Statistics,
yeah.
Oh, like, God. How do I know?
That's why I was always awful at history. It's like, I got the general sense of what was going on. Like, oh, yeah, so this guy did this thing, and it was important for this reason. It was like, what date and what time did this thing happen?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
November sometime. It was spring.
Didn't CreeCom kind of change, like, if you watch the evening news, like, or watching that, like, 24-hour coverage of the Paris attacks, and it kind of, like, blew my mind how fast they were and, like, how much people it took to cover that, and how, like, I'm kind of, like, imagining myself and how it would be, like, to cover that.
Yeah, I kind of did that, too. It's like, oh, you kind of realize the process now, and you can,
yeah, you know the process.
Empathize with the reporters who are on the ground.
And, like, all the images, and, like, they literally came out hours after it happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa. You know, you kind of get mind blown and you kind of get more respect for journalists in that way because you know all the ins and outs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how demanding that is.
It's crazy.
For sure.
Crazy.
So where do you see yourself in, like, not necessarily job.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
No, not necessarily job-wise even. Just, like, I don't know. What's in your sort of dream for the future? You want to move out soon? Where, like,
yeah, I want to.
Do you
want to
stay
soon
in Winnipeg? Do you want to go somewhere else?
I do want to try out another city.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, I'm so comfortable in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not, like, if I lived in a small town, I would want to get out of there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of small town people I know.
Yeah.
But I think Winnipeg is good for an introvert like myself. It's, like, not too huge of a city.
It's just the right balance,
but
I think.
But it's not
more,
it's not, like, a small town when you, where you live,
yeah,
and literally have, like, nothing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
but
the
then
thing
a lot
about,
of times,
yeah,
like, when I'm hanging out with people, like, what's there to do in Winnipeg? I don't know. But you just gotta, like, look deeper, you know?
Yeah. It's, yeah.
There's always something.
It's not that there's
to
nothing
do.
To do. It's just that you're not necessarily active in those things.
Yeah, so I think I see myself getting more involved in local, you know, or community stuff. I do want to move out, like, within the next couple years.
Yeah.
Probably with my sister.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll see what happens from there. I want to get a job in corporate video production, and own a house with a white picket fence and 3 cats. I don't know. Yeah,
not looking at kids in your future
down the road. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
yeah,
you want them for sure. That's,
yeah,
that's
like 2
really
max
cool.
I don't know. Like a girl and a boy. Name them Jill and Tom. Just kidding. Just getting so specific.
Just, like, yeah, plan it all out.
Yeah, yeah, no, eventually we want a family, and I still want to continue, like as demanding as working in media is, and it does have sporadic hours, I eventually do want a family and, like, a job that lets me, you know,
have that kind of flexibility.
Have the flexibility, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I getcha.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, that's the big question of my sort of, when I think about my future, it's like, does it have kids or does it not have kids? I don't know.
Because they do affect, like, a huge, like,
that your life has changed forever.
Your life
that's
turns
just,
upside down.
That's it. You're never not a parent anymore.
Exactly.
And I don't know if I have the mental and emotional fortitude to do that.
Yeah, true.
But,
like, for me too, I'm like, can I handle a child? Can I handle another me? Oh my God, I hope they're not as difficult,
yeah,
as I was as a kid.
Were you a difficult kid?
Sometimes, yeah. When I was, like, very, very younger. Like, I was raised in, like, a really, like, tough-ass neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of acquired the language of
My
neighbors, my, like, neighborhood kids who were just swearing all the time. So I was like, it's hard to believe, but I was like kind of,
you were,
I was like
badass.
A good kid, but then I had those like under, like,
oh, yeah,
undertones of, yeah, like potty mouth child.
That's really funny.
Yeah. I was a potty mouth.
Secretly.
I had to eat soap and like.
Badass. Secretly a badass.
Secretly, yeah. I'm going to just unleash that.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Little known fact about me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was pretty good kid. Apparently I was a really difficult baby.
You're a difficult baby.
Yeah, like just constantly crying and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Like I put my parents through the ringer, and then when my brother came along, he was like the most relaxed, chill child of all time. And they were like, what the fuck is this? It's too easy. Where's the catch?
No, my siblings and I, like from ages 13 and under, we just gave my parents heck. We were like all the time.
Oh no.
We fought like so much, and now we're like giving it, we're trying to like make it up to them. We're like, we're all doing really well in school. And it's like, good job, kids.
You guys
are doing well.
It all comes out in the wash, right?
Exactly.
Perfect.
It's really funny.
That's good.
But yeah, I don't know. I hope my kids aren't as introverted as I am. That's why I always said I wanted to marry someone who was opposite of me,
mm-hmm,
who didn't have my like anxiety or like my shyness.
Yeah,
just to like make me not as shy.
Right.
So then that's, I don't know. We'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, it all depends on who you find.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
true, true, true. Where do you see yourself? Maybe even like in the next 5 or 4 years.
Well, in the next couple of years, my ideal is to find a nicer place, be able to make enough to have a car.
Yeah.
Not have to take the bus everywhere. And maybe get a cat or two.
Get a cat or two or 10.
I just, yeah, we're both big animal lovers, so it's like, the idea to move to the country is basically so that we can have as many animals as possible.
No limits. Animals.
Zach wants to get like a pig. And I'm like,
pig?
Yeah. Well, he thinks they're adorable. And I'm like, well, okay, but then we can't eat pork anymore. And I'm not sure I'm ready to give up bacon.
Right, because then it's like, oh, but that's my pig.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's a bit of hypocrisy that I'm not ready to face.
So you're always going to, like the country's always your home, and it's, like, where you feel you belong?
I think it's where I'd like to end up.
Or end up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's kind of the end goal right now, whether it's going to be good for me in the long run, I'm not really sure.
It is a quiet, like, it's nice and peaceful out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't mind driving long distances to get to malls.
Yeah, and that's the thing you have to weigh against. Because when I was growing up out there, I did feel kind of isolated and stifled.
Yeah.
But most of that was because I didn't
have to plan all your trips.
Yeah.
Everything.
Well, a lot of it because I didn't have my own transport.
Right.
You know, I had to rely on my parents to get everywhere, mm-hmm, except for to go to school, and that's just the school bus. Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to work out how much of that feeling was just living with my parents and still being under their rules and under their house, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm excited to do, as terrible as it sounds. My parents are like, no, just stay for a bit, you know? Like, don't leave, because I'm the oldest and I'm the one who's thinking about it first.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, my little brother just turned 18, so it's like, oh, they're getting old, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then, so I'm like, yeah, maybe in the next couple of years when I get a job, I'll move out. They're like, oh, are you sure? You know,
oh,
our nest is always here.
Yeah, my parents are totally like that, too.
Yeah, parents are, they just don't want to let go.
But, like, and then I moved out, and it was kind of a big, there's some shenanigans. It was, like, some drama.
A little,
but then a couple of years later when my brother was moving out, they're like, okay, bye, see ya.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of just have to start it off for them.
The test child.
I am the test child.
It's the worst ever. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I got along great with my parents both before and after I moved out.
Yeah.
But once you move out, you get along with your parents so much better.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
so great.
Then you kind of like,
it's so great. I highly recommend
like
it.
You like miss the home cooked food and all that. And like,
there is that.
Your bedroom and everything. And
yeah.
But I don't know. I haven't moved out yet, so we'll see how it goes. Like, my parents have a very different, like, I guess, values and stuff. Like, growing up with immigrant parents, they kind of have that a different mindset.
Yeah.
So they were raised in a different country, and I was raised here, so it was kind of conflict sometimes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, like, generally we do get along, but, like, some of the house rules are, I can't wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be nice to have that, like, freedom to think for myself and kind of, like, you know, go by what I think is important and have that freedom. So
yeah, that's definitely nice.
I'm looking forward to that.
it's hard to have to impose those restrictions on yourself.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've always been a very sort of independent sort.
Mm-hmm, and that's good.
And I just, it's so much better. Mm-hmm. I just feel like I don't have this like cloud of whatever hanging over me
looming over you, like, oh, what my parents think, oh, is and is it a party,
as,
I don't know.
Yeah, as anxiety inducing as it is, it's like whatever you do, you're only answerable to yourself, which is both a good thing and a bad thing.
Yeah,
but ultimately I think it's a good thing for me.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been moved out?
3 years.
Oh,
I moved out pretty early. I moved out when I was only 19.
Yeah.
that was part of the thing, and the other part of the thing was because I moved in with my boyfriend,
right,
whom I'd only been dating for 4 months at that point.
Yeah.
that was kids. Yeah. It seemed very like stereotypical teenager like rebellion.
Yeah.
But it worked in the end.
Yeah,
so,
true.
And everyone's pretty pleased with it. No one more so than me. But yeah. I feel like this is a callback to our earlier podcast. I feel like we talked about this already.
Yeah, we're just kind of wrapping everything up.
Yeah, this is like sort of a greatest hits, if you will.
The greatest hits. The best of.
Seems okay. I don't know. You want to wrap it up?
Sure. Okay.
End of the day. This is our last official podcast. There may or may not be an unofficial drunk podcast.
Depending on
just exactly how overwhelmed we get in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun, I think. I've had a good time.
I like this assignment. I thought it would be a lot harder, but it's actually pretty.
Yeah.
Like,
it's pretty
cool. You look forward to it. You're like, yeah, you just get an hour to talk. You just say your thoughts and you post like... You know, like before I was like, oh no, my voice for an hour listening to myself.
Definitely helps you get more comfortable in front of a mic.
Yeah. So I think the progress we've made, I think it helps too with being more confident in talking
mm-hmm.
to people or voicing things and even doing like a live shift on the radio.
Yeah. Well, that's a little bit different because it's a lot easier to when you have somebody else to talk to.
I guess so.
But yeah.
Definitely for but, content too. Like yeah. You learn how to talk.
Yeah, you learn how to think on your feet and then talk at the same time, which is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
More so than you might think. Like if you haven't done it before, you might think it's kind of easy, but then you sit there and there's a mic in front of you and it's staring at you and you're like, oh dear God, what do I do?
Mike, what do I do?
Mike, please. Help me out here. Yeah. Anyway, so
see you.
Have a nice life.
Have a nice life. I hope you got something out of this. I hope you learned something. I hope you think that introverts are not as lame.
All I can say is that I hope you were reasonably entertained and you don't regret listening to us for however many hours this has been.
Hours of your life. Thank you guys. Thanks for listening. Signing off.